It is one of the most talked about things this morning. I'd say most homes were watching it. Not everyone in every home, of course. And many a person would have walked out of the room when it was on. Others would be saying that they never watch it when they do. They just are so embarrassed to admit it. All of that. What am I talking about? Well, this, of course.
It's been 8 weeks of romance, rows and rocky relationships. And now it's time to find out who you've chosen as your winning couple. Greg and Amber, Tommy and Molly May. The public have been watching your every move. We've laughed with you, we've cried with you, but most of all, we've fallen in love with you. And now it's time to reveal the winning couple. The winners of Love Island 2019 are...
Too much drama. Just name them. You girl, you.
Greg and Amber!
So there you go. You had plenty of time if you haven't looked at your recording to have turned the volume down, I'm sure, during that. But I don't have any sympathy for people who don't watch television in the conventional way. Let me speak to Amanda Ferguson, who I bet watches it and then re-watches it. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Frank.
Amanda, now you're going to think, here's old Frank, who is, you know, from the country, and he's just saying this because he's a bloke. But I'll be completely honest, I don't know anything about Love Island other than it seems to be incredibly glamorous. It has been watched in my home. I haven't followed any of it. When I heard that a big rugby player from Limerick won it, I immediately went online to see who the lad was. Amber, I had to look up to see how glamorous she was, when indeed what her hairstyle was, for instance, or was she a girl of, you know, ample proportions or pretty slight? You know, the sort of thing you do when you're watching Love Island, because they don't look like real people. Having said all of that, it seems to have totally gripped the nation. And Greg O'Shea, who's a rugby player from Limerick, and Amber, and I haven't got Amber's name on the tip of my tongue, surname, but she's from Newcastle upon Tyne, and they've won £50,000 between them. And Greg, he won it, but he gave half of it to Amber. I'm still right on all of this, yes?
Yes, you're sort of there.
Okay, okay. And, but they're going to become millionaires now. They're going to be millionaires because they've won Love Island. Over to you, Amanda. Explain the appeal to me, please.
Yeah, I think that actually most of the cast, as they're known, will probably end up becoming millionaires, because it is a very sort of big sort of money generating kind of series, you know, spin-off work for the people that get to take part in it. But I think that Love Island is appealing to people because it is glam and it is fun and it's lighthearted as well. But there are some serious sides to it as well. Like, you know, I know that I spend a lot of my time in journalism writing about politics and doom and gloom and, you know, really sort of depressing sort of things that have to be covered. So it's a nice bit of light relief. It's kind of like a bit of escapism and sort of candy floss, trash TV that you can watch and just sort of zone out from all of the sort of troubles in life. But I'm not going to try and defend it as, you know, highbrow television or something that is deeply educational. But it has been very useful, I think, particularly because it appeals to quite a young audience in general. It's been very good, I think, for young people to see how relationships work. To see, you know, I know it's not a sort of natural environment, but you're learning about, you know, how women and men interact with each other. You know, the girl Maura Higgins from Longford raised loads of questions about, you know, women's sexuality and how that's presented and how that's accepted. And then we saw different issues throughout the series being raised, like gaslighting about men and women's relationships when it doesn't work out.
Hold on, let me stop you there. Whoa. I've heard this term, gaslighting. What is gaslighting?
Yeah, it's kind of somebody sort of convincing you that you're mad, that what you feel and believe isn't true, and trying to make it out as if, you know, essentially in this circumstance, it was one of the girls was being treated not very well by one of the guys, and then it was making it out as if, you know, what are you talking about? You know, you're mad, and sort of to question your own feelings. So it's a part of, I suppose it's a part of emotionally abusive behaviour. And I know that the groups like Women's Aid and other groups, you know, that are concerned regarding relationships, highlight that as something that's quite important for young people to understand what it looks like. So it's been interesting, I think, from that point of view, in terms of young people seeing what a healthy relationship looks like. And also, you know, there's all the fun and the crack, and then there's the merchandise range that's linked to it as well. So it's not... you know, it's not all sort of like we're not sitting down making notes every night. It is just a bit of fun.
And again, I really do feel, and I'm coming from a sense of ignorance on this, and I have to admit that,
yeah.
Because I could speak to someone about football, and if they've never been to a football match or they've never played football, they're going to have to say, listen, I don't really know what you're talking about. So
I'm not way about cricket.
Yeah, right. So I'm a bit in the dark as to Love Island. Now, I know enough about it, as everyone will know the shape of the ball, and they know there's nets, and they know there's teams play, and the team that scores the most wins. Everybody knows that. I glanced at the screen a few times. I have people who are near and dear to me who watch Love Island and who like it, and who, as a matter of fact, really look forward to the conclusion of it. But I've never got the chance to actually talk to them about it. And I just, what struck me was the people were like drop dead gorgeous, those who I saw, the men and the women. The men didn't look like me, and the women didn't look like any girl I ever danced with in a nightclub. They seemed to be...
Oh, no, you're going to get some...
I know.
...some worded text messages from your ex-girlfriend.
Yes, but when it was me, I just never... You know, I was at the back of the queue. So what I'm saying is that I see incredibly glamorous people on a screen, not very overly dressed. They're quite scantily clad, actually. And they are groomed to perfection. And they're interacting with each other. I don't see how you could learn anything about life from people like that. They're not real people. Real people have a bit of weight, or have a boil, or, you know, have a slightly unstraight tooth, or they walk with a sore leg, or they're grumpy. They're not gorgeous.
The premise of the show is that it's a group of sort of gorgeous 20-somethings that are in a villa in Spain. So of course they're going to be wearing their bikinis and things like that, and their trunks or whatever. And they aren't perfect. So, you know, they're not. They are attractive people, but they're by no means perfect. And I think it's a bit of fun. They go in. Everybody goes in as a singleton, and then you couple up with people. And the aim of the show is that you try to find love. And in some previous series, it has worked out for people. In other series, it hasn't. You know, nobody's expecting everybody that goes into the show to be together forever. But it is very... I think it's one of the reasons why I like it, is because you can see the sort of the dynamics between the relationships and the friendships, and you can see how the girls support each other and how the boys back each other up. And then you can see the guys that are respectful of women, and you can sort of... you can work out how people have been raised a bit by how they get on. And like even the late entry into the show was Greg O'Shea, the Irish rugby player. And I think that he's kind of turned perceptions maybe of young sportsmen on its head, because he is, you know, not this sort of like laddish bloke, but very sort of respectful and gentlemanly. And it's been interesting for me to actually see the young men being very able to express their feelings, which I think has been good. And you've seen through the progress of the show where, like, obviously emotions are high in a setup like that, that some of them have been crying, and, you know, the other guys haven't, you know, have been, you know, supportive of that, and, you know, it's okay to express your emotions and stuff. And you've also then seen the negative side of relationships between young people. But I think nobody, you know, should take the show too seriously. Like, it is, it's a summer show, it's fun, it's lively, there's merchandise linked to it, you can buy their makeup, you can buy their wash bags and bottles and all that sort of crap. And after this, they will have all their brand endorsements, and their Instagram followers are a million plus. So they'll have people clamoring to sign them up, and some of them may well get their own shows or spin-off shows from it. So that they do use it as a launch pad. And no, not everybody that's in there will be have been being genuine, but you can tell the people that were genuine and they were being themselves, because not only were they presenting this sort of picture perfect image of themselves, they were also letting themselves down in terms of how they were behaving as well in certain circumstances.
Yeah, but just one other thing, if you go into a nightclub where people meet and the glamorous people are there, the ordinary people are there too. The girl who's a little overweight, or the fella with the, you know, the awkward shaped nose, they're all there, but they never make it to Love Island. I feel sorry for those kids who are sitting at home thinking, you know, I couldn't be there because I'm not pretty enough.
Yeah, well, that is the sort of premise of the show, is that it's glam young people that are there, and it does concern me that the young people would, you know, it would make them sort of feel bad about their body image or how they appear. But you have to remember, this show goes out at 9 o'clock at night. That's the sort of watershed time. You know, young children aren't supposed to be watching this, and if they are, that's bad parenting.
Yeah, but even the 17, 18-year-old girl or fella who feels a little bit inadequate because, you know, Jill down the street is the glamour puss, and it's only Jill that's ever going to be, or, you know, Jill or Robbie, they're going to be on the screen, but, you know, Frank and, you know, Frank's friends aren't.
Well, there could be a spin-off series. There could be room for another series where it's a whole bunch of really
Love Island does fat people.
Love Island. or whatever. Like, you know, I think it would be a good idea to open it up to all shapes and sizes. But I think that people that argue that it's about sort of this sort of glam lifestyle, and it's supposed to be aspirational and that sort of thing. And it was actually quite disturbing that one of the young girls in the program, Anna, she's a 28-year-old girl, and she's a curvy frame, and, you know, she's a healthy girl, and she would be on the curvier side of things. And there was a lot of abuse targeted towards her. Oh, she's fat and she's this. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, like if a young woman that's maybe a size 10 or a size 12 or whatever it is that she is being criticised, you know, for being fat, that's outrageous. And I think that speaks to a bigger problem that society has with body image and expectations on young people. So yes, it's not a show that's going to appeal to everybody, but you know, it's not question time, like.
Totally. And it is a huge, huge success. It is a massive, massive success. And as you say, the young fella who won it comes across apparently as being very well brought up. And that is that's nice to see, that the nice guy wins through. That, you know, genuinely, that is nice to see.
Yeah, but I think it was more of a case that Amber won it, and he was standing beside her. I think that people had seen the journey that Amber had been on. She had been coupled up with another firefighter called Michael, who had sort of dumped her for another woman during the course of the show, and she was devastated about that. And then you saw her girlfriends, you know, pick her up, and, you know, her sort of fighting back, and then her being down, and then Greg coming in and being a gentleman and sort of making her smile again. And I think that she won the show because people saw that she'd been through all of that. And also, you know, he was kind of just there, like, because he had been, like, if he had been horrible, then she wouldn't have won it. But I think it was more her win, and he was sort of along for the ride. But it did well for Ireland, for a young man from here to come across so well on the screen.
And finally, you have to be heterosexual to be on Love Island.
Oh, do you? I didn't know that.
I presume so.
I didn't know that.
It's all men and women, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Although I think that one of the contestants spoke about having sort of bisexual experiences whenever they were younger, but I wasn't aware of that. I've only started watching it in the last couple of years. I know there's been hardcore fans that have been down since day one, but maybe there could be an LGBT Love Island, who knows?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you're on the current edition of it, there'd be no point in being. You couldn't express your bisexuality or your homosexual interest. You couldn't go on and fall in. You know, Ronnie couldn't go on and fall in love with Robbie. It doesn't work like that on the screen. Or have I missed something?
Well, I suppose that it would be possible, but I think the lineup this year was and has been a heterosexual lineup, so there would be room there for expanding in further series. It would actually be great, but it depends what the producers of the program feel that the series is about and what they want it to be. But yeah, like I would welcome that. I would welcome a more diverse crowd. I would welcome people of different sexualities. I would welcome people of different body shapes and sizes. I know that for some people the appeal is that it's sort of this unattainable sort of perfection, but you know, whenever you look past the eyelashes, they're not perfect. Like.
Yeah, and then of course that would be the real world that you'd be producing. You couldn't have the real world when you've got Love Island. Love Island is special.
I think it would be crack. I think an Irish version would be great as well. Because the Irish contestants this year, Maureen, Greg and Ioande, have gone down really well. And I think it would definitely be a different, there would be a different sort of scene to it if it was a little bit closer to home. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of snobbery around the programme as well. Like, you know, there's no way I would watch that rubbish and it's just pure trash or whatever. And yes, it is Candy Floss TV, but it's entertaining and it's crack.
I would never call it, you know, I need to emphasise that. I wouldn't call it pure trash because I haven't enough knowledge of it. I haven't seen it to pass judgment on it. I like the idea of the Irish version where the couples could all go to Craggy Island and they could all make love in that pro-kill house.
My goodness.
We could be onto something there, Amanda. But huge success, gigantic success. There's going to be two series of it next year. And well done to Amber and to Greg, who will make a fortune out of it. And you have to stand back and applaud them. Great to hear, Amanda, that you're not just a serious journalist, that you do enjoy a bit of crack on TV.
And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Fair play to you. I wouldn't be ashamed to admit it either. I'm just being honest. I haven't seen it. But Amanda, thank you. Your opinions on it? Love Island, were you hooked or are you not prepared to admit that you were hooked? Are you